Well, SREP has actually been undertaking EIA training and capacity building, awareness raising with EIA since the early 1990s. So, yes, there are increasing development pressures that we need to address, but the new regional EIA guidelines that have been released build on our long-running EIA assistance program here in the Pacific. Basically, we want to support and strengthen current EIA legal requirements in SREP member countries. We want to promote EIA best practice across the region, and we want to encourage countries to develop their own national EIA guideline documents to help them with day-to-day EIA administration and management.
What would you see as the most obvious changes that will come into force over the months and years ahead as compared to the system that is in existence now?
One thing that we try to promote is that environment departments work with other government agencies. Often environment departments in the Pacific have very limited resources. In many cases, there's just one staff member who is responsible for EIA. So what we try and encourage is that environment departments work with other relevant government departments so that they can approach EIA more effectively. They have more support, particularly for big infrastructure projects, complex projects like mining, land-based mining, and potentially in the future deep-sea mining. And even sometimes tourism developments can be quite large and complex, so it's important that environment departments work with other areas of government to ensure that potential impacts are effectively assessed and managed during both construction and operation.
Is there a potential danger, though, for creating a system which is too bureaucratic and wrapped up in too much red tape, and the knock-on effect there could be to put potential investors off?
No, I think most investors are quite familiar with EIA. EIA has been practiced around the world for quite a few decades now, so it's nothing new, really, particularly for investors coming from overseas who are looking to develop projects here in the Pacific. And in fact, some of the major donor agencies have their own environmental and social standards or safeguards. And what we're trying to do is work with those donor agencies, link those environmental and social standards systems to national EIA systems so that we can meet national environmental management goals and management objectives, and also the environmental management objectives of donors.
So there's no risk, you would argue, of perhaps creating too many boxes to tick?
No, we're actually hoping that we can streamline the process. So I guess at the moment you'll often have a donor agency coming in and they'll have their own environmental and social safeguards or standards that need to be addressed, and then you've got the national EIA system. So we're working together with the donor agencies through the Pacific Region Infrastructure Facility to streamline some of the development planning and assessment processes.